What's up, Pels fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Pelican Debrief Podcast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We've been doing this for a couple of weeks now. It's been growing steadily, and we really appreciate your support. If you can do even a little bit more, I know you've been hearing all the other podcasts do this same bit, but we really need it. Go on iTunes, rate us, hit subscribe, tell your friends, retweet. Any little bit of support helps. Now, in case you guys don't know, Pelican Debrief is a division of Fansided. This is the ultimate home for fans, and let's face it, you are the ultimate fan, or you definitely would not be listening to me right now. Now, my name is Preston Ellis. You guys can follow me at Preston Ellis. Go ahead on Twitter and check that out. And you can follow our site, pelicandebrief.com, or hit us up on Twitter at Pelican Debrief. And we are led by Commander-in-Chief Rick Stone. You can follow him at RickStoneNBA. Shout out to you, Rick. We appreciate all that you do. And hit up the site anyway. We've got a lot of great content, including grades, recaps. We've got some trade options. I've got a piece up this week on getting to know Jordan Crawford, Instant Grits. So you guys go over there and hit us up and read our stuff. But coming up first, we've got Wilton Jackson, a Pelican Debrief contributor. I gotta tell you guys, this is a wonderful interview, and once you hear his resume, you'll really be blown away. You'll fall right off your treadmill or out of your chair or hopefully pull over your car. I hope you're not driving into oncoming traffic as you listen to this podcast. Stay tuned, you guys. But before we get to that, we've got a little business to attend to first. What happened? Pels won 123-109 behind a monstrous second half, with the Pelicans scoring 75 points. I know, including 40 in the third, their highest margin of scoring in a quarter to date. Their previous was 36 against the Rockets just a few nights ago, and they almost topped that in the fourth when they scored, and they tacked on another 35. So, quite an explosion, and the Timberwolves have been playing excellent defense as of late, especially from the All-Star break, but six different Pels scored in double digits tonight. They would not be stopped, led by AD with 28 points, Jordan Crawford, Instant Grits with 22, including a couple of bombs from Poydras. Now, they were also paced by Etuan Moore with 14, Boogie with 15, Drew with 21, only two turnovers down from his average of six since the break. Solomon Hill had 13 points. The big guy has been going off for the week of his birthday. He's got double digits in four of the past five games. Really been stepping us for us when we needed it most. Now, the Wolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns, AD's old nemesis. He is now 0-5 against the Brow. He played extremely well with 33 points and 5 rebounds. We'll talk a lot more about this later, but they were also paced by Andrew Wiggins with 25 and Shabazz Muhammad with 18, and Rubio led them with 10 and 14. The game was over in the fourth when the Wolves pulled as close as two before Instant Grits, like we talked about, pulled away with 8 consecutive points, including 2 threes, and then a 2 coming out of that timeout when we went ahead 98-92. Now, the Wolves came out red hot early, shooting 65% from the field with 11 assists on 12 made shots, 7 of those assists belonging to Ricky Rubio. They were on fire in the first quarter. AD led the Pels with 8 in the first, but Karl-Anthony Towns would not be denied. He outscored him in the first. The highlight of the quarter, though, would belong to Anthony Davis. He was on the receiving end. Did you guys see this? I'm sure you must have if you're Pelicans fans. This ridiculous reverse alley-oop that DeMarcus Cousins threw to AD the other night against the Trailblazers. Well, if you did, it's pretty similar play. I'm sure it must be something they're instilling since the All-Star break. We got the exact same version of that, but this time thrown from Etuan Moore. It was beautiful, and just watching the big guy soar through the air like that, had another soaring dunk in the third where Drew Holiday threw the ball up into the rafters and somehow AD went up and got it. It was truly just awe-inspiring, but the Pels got out of the first 34-28, back on topic. We were lucky enough to keep it that close the way that the Timberwolves were shooting, like I said, 65%. But in the second, a curious set of options with who Alvin Gentry elected to put out on the floor. He had a lineup of Tim Frazier, who was starting in place of shooting guard Wayne Selden, who is now a Memphis Grizzly. We'll see them on Tuesday. He put him out there with Etuan Moore, Dante Cunningham, Donatas Moniunas, I'm sure I'm butchering that name, and Jordan Crawford. It was curious because obviously there was no AD Boogie or Drew in that lineup, and they were still going head-to-head with Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. So in a complete shocker, the Wolves extended their lead at this point, piling out to a 48-37 lead at the six-minute mark before Gentry put the big guys back into the game. Crawford ended the 10-0 run at that point with a corner three to send the Pels to a much-needed timeout. At that point, it was 50-40 when AD re-entered the game. But the Pels would pull to 54-48 with a 6-0 run in response to the Wolves' 14-4 run just prior to. The Wolves led by as many as 12 in the period. Ah, and the Pelicans, that's a 26-point swing. It's really incredible. The Pels finished the half with a dreadful 10 turnovers, 8 in the second. 5 of these were from our big man, Anthony Davis. You could tell in the first half, a lot of spacing errors, a lot of these turnovers, a lot of miscues and miscommunications. But they really got in tune in the second half, like I said. Drew and AD paced the Pels with 10 each in the quarter, with contributions from Crawford and Hill, and used a 20-6 run to take a 75-69 lead. Then they finished the quarter with the score closely locked at 88-84. Now, after watching the Wolves in person against the Pels and the Magic in Orlando, I always caught them seemingly sleepwalking on defense to start the third. I could almost predict whatever the score was. The Wolves would always come out strong and then would always kind of backpedal once the second half started. And this was no exception. They've been playing great defense lately, having beaten teams like the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Wizards in 3 of their past 10 games. But earlier in the season, 538.com gave them a historically bad negative 30 rating for the third quarter earlier in the season. And though Tom Thibodeau has shored up that glitch to an extent, it really glared its ugly head back again tonight. But that's what happened in the third, 88-84. In the fourth, the Pels pulled away with a 12-0 run, featuring some scoring sprees from Davis, Moore, and Crawford, which put the game up 114-99 at the conclusion of that run. And there was no turning back from there. That was it. With this win, the Pels move to 29-41. The Wolves fall to 28-41. Just another team for us to hop past. We've won 4 out of 5. And with a 3-0 season sweep of the Wolves, their third sweep of the Wolves all time, they now own the tiebreaker. Not that it'll matter. We've still got the Trailblazers and the Nuggets to worry about. And speaking of which, we've still got 3 head-to-head clashes with the Nuggets. The Nuggets are facing the Rockets on Monday, so you'd have to think that we'll be just 4 games back in the Nuggets by Monday night before we play the Grizzlies on Tuesday. And there's still 12 games left. You're saying there's a chance. And now, let's talk a little Pels-Wolves with one of our Pelican Debrief experts. Here comes Wilton Jackson. You guys, it's time to phone a friend. All right, and now we welcome onto the program Wilton Jackson. Now, before I get into this, you can follow Wilton at Wilton Reports. That's at Wilton Reports. And Wilton, if you don't mind, I'm going to gush on you for a second before we get to questions. According to your Twitter, you have previously worked or spent time or earned credences in some form or other at the Sports Journalism Institute, ESPN, Scripps Howard Foundation, the Louisiana High School Coaches Association, the Manship School of Mass Communications, the LSU Office of Diversity. You're a digital media reporter for Louisiana High School Coaches Association, Director of Communications, National Board Student Representative for the National Association of Black Journalists. There's so much more here. The founder of the Red Diamond Report, the Garner Jackson Phi Eta Sigma Scholarship. I'm going on. Wilton, it is an honor, man. This is so cool. Did I miss anything?
I mean, you know, with that introduction, I feel like nothing else needs to be said. You didn't even have to announce that, man. Like, you know, I'm just glad to be here and talk sports, man.
Oh, well, I appreciate it so much, you taking the time. Thank you so much, and we've got a lot to talk about and celebrate tonight. The Pels won, as I said, 123-109, and Wilton, I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to start you out with Solomon Hill. We had 6 Pels in double digits tonight, but Solomon Hill has been a revelation, of late, scoring in double digits in 4 of 5 games, including 13-5-4 tonight on 4 of 8 shooting. Wilton, what is going on? Is this just because it's the week of his birthday?
sure he would, you know, be glad to say, you know, he has something to do with his birthday. But I think more importantly, it's just the team coming together. And honestly, like, obviously with, you know, Evans and Galloway and Hill going away in the trade, somebody had to step up as far as, like, from a perimeter shooting standpoint. And obviously, Simon Hill has definitely stepped up specifically in the last four to five games. And so if he can continue to do that, I think the Pelicans can definitely still continue to fight for that eighth and final spot in the playoffs because when you look at his work and then the work of Etuan Moore and Drew Holiday today, even though Tim Frazier didn't have but only 3 points, the thing is he got back in the rotation. And so it kind of all gels together because if you remember, at one point in time, Tim Frazier played a huge part in, you know, getting this team together and the pace that the team was running on. And so now with him back on the floor, I like that move of Gentry putting him back at point guard to start this game. But then also I feel like the players that were surrounding him, you know, pretty much kind of picked up on that injury. And so if Solomon Hill can definitely continue to, you know, put in anywhere between 10 to 15 points a game, that takes the pressure off of Boogie and Anthony Davis and also Drew Holiday to be able to be the Pelicans' three offensive threats.
Definitely, man. We got contributions all around with six different Pels in double digits, like I said. But he's really helped open up the floor, really contribute to that spacing that Alvin Gentry is preaching. And going on to talk about the other guys contributing, I'm not going to cover all six of them, but we have got to talk about Jordan Crawford, instant grits, had 22 points in the fourth quarter. It got kind of tight there. We got within two. And then he bombed two threes, it seemed almost from midcourt. And we've got him locked up for another season. Wilton, how excited are you about Jordan Crawford?
To be honest with you, I'm very excited because if I'm Alvin Gentry at first, I'm asking myself, is he really shooting those three-pointers from near half court? But, you know, like, all jokes aside, like, he really had an all-around good game, but specifically from a shooting standpoint. Like, the shots that he took, even though they some were, you know, much longer than the others, like, he made them and he converted them, but more importantly, he felt confident in doing it. And it's almost like, you know, his name, Instant Grits, coming off the bench. Like, he brought that instant offense that the Pelicans so desperately needed to be able to, you know, finish games. Because one thing about this franchise, one thing about this franchise specifically is the Pelicans has always had trouble finishing games. They would, you know, go through the first two to three quarters, you know, playing any team in the league. But then in the fourth quarter, it would be a meltdown. But now with this instant offense from Crawford and other players surrounding them, and then just like I said, more importantly, the team coming together as one with the additional parts, with Boogie and Anthony Davis, you know, gelling together all at one time. It's just a good time to be a Pelican and, you know, a good time to, you know, continue to fight for that eighth spot in the Western Conference.
Yeah, totally. And how good do you feel about staying on the Pelicans' bandwagon right now? We've won 4 of 5.
Right. No, that's really good. I mean, because when you think about it, this run that they're on right now reminds me of the run that they went on towards the end of the season, the end of the 2016 part of the season. Like, they were winning, like, you know, multiple games, and then, like, they started the season, you know, they started the season with a loss, but then they kind of bounced back. But this winning streak that they're on right now really looks good for them, and it reminds me of that streak that they were on because they were clicking on all cylinders. They were, you know, putting up points offensively. They were playing really good defense. The only thing that I would say differently now moving forward, that they need to still tighten up on the perimeter, the defense on the from the perimeter, from the three-point line, because there were times tonight where, well, the shots were contested, but I think that's one thing that they can continue to tighten up on perimeter defense and just defense in general, because the Timberwolves, of course, they acquire Anthony Towns, who's going to get, you know, he's going to get his production regardless of whoever you put on him, but that's something to tighten up going down the stretch of the season.
Definitely. In the first half, the Wolves shot 40% from three. The Pels actually shot 50% as well, but albeit only on 10 shots. But the Wolves did slow down in the second to the tune of 36% overall. We did a much better job slowing them down. And with that being said, I want to talk to you further about what we were talking about, winning 4 out of 5. Now, Sporting News reported last week that Alvin Gentry would need to show significant improvement to keep his job. Now, the Pels have won 4 and 5. We're nothing crazy. We're 29-41. We're still four games back in the Nuggets because I'm just assuming, I'm putting into the universe that the Nuggets are going to lose to the Houston Rockets tomorrow night. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I definitely agree with that.
Okay, so
I definitely agree with that.
We've won 4 of 5. We're trailing by only 4 games. We've still got 3 games left to play. How confident are you, and with these past 5 games, Is this improvement significant enough for you right now, Wilton Jackson, to say Alvin Gentry should come back for the 2017-18 season?
I think just off of these, just off the Pelicans winning the last four, I'm not fully confident yet. I feel like if he can win the Knicks maybe eight out of ten,
okay,
or at least 7 out of 10, I think, you know, then we can start to really consider, you know, Gentry coming back and being the head coach for the Pelicans. But more importantly, I feel like as long as his players continue to play at the level that they played tonight, you know, besides tightening up defensively, I think he has a job for next year. Because, like I said, again, everybody, it just seems like, you know, everybody's coming together. Everybody's, you know, learning each other's game and who plays what role for the team. And that's so important going down the stretch of the season, because you could have had, you know, a rough start to the beginning of the season, but if you can get hot at the right time, specifically going down the stretch to, you know, fight for a playoff spot, that's exactly what you need. And if you look at it, winning the last four of the five games, and now it's mid-March going into April, this is the run that the Pelicans need if they want to potentially land that eighth spot in the Western Conference. So with Boogie and Anthony Davis, you know, everybody knows that's the major headline. If they can continue to, you know, gel, which they have been, you know, that's going to be something to really look, you know, to look forward to. And then the biggest thing after that is, again, the perimeter shooting. Jrue Holiday, Etuan Moore, Solomon Hill, Jordan Crawford, like, they're going to have to continue to do these things that they did tonight on a consistent basis, night in and night out. Like, I'm sure you know, bench scoring has always been a critical thing for the Pelicans and their success in winning. So if they want to continue to win and Alvin Gentry wants to, you know, continue coaching for the Pelicans, these players have to continue to stay at the level that they played tonight moving forward down the stretch of the season.
Definitely, and they did. All those names you just mentioned, I just thought to myself, the past three games, they have all been playing pretty efficiently. Now, before we get to the big conversation topic, the AD versus Towns, the rival Kentucky big man, let's talk about the other Kentucky big man, DeMarcus Cousins, who had a quiet night by his standards. Didn't get into foul trouble, no technicals. I think he finished with 15 and 11. I caught him actually in the fourth yelling out at the referee. The microphone must have been pretty close because I could hear him very clearly saying, "You see that right?" And at the time, he had his arm hooked under Gorgui Dieng's arm. This was something that happened early on in the fourth before the game had been decided. Having that conversation while the ball was being raced out and transitioned towards the other end. Tell me your thoughts about Boogie Cousins in this era, what you're seeing from him, and his performance tonight specifically.
I think his performance was really good tonight, despite it being quiet. One thing that I feel like we're starting to see, and I personally have been able to see it in some of the games, possibly he, you know, had one suspension. But other than that, like, I think we're looking at a Boogie Cousins that's, I don't want to use the word maturing, but he's, I feel like, becoming more into his own and finding his way in the Pelicans franchise. So, of course, we know, you know, Boogie to be what seems as, well, what people thought, that he was a bully in Sacramento, and, you know, he was always getting technical fouls, and, of course, you know, he did get technical fouls, but I feel like we're seeing a Boogie that's much more, I guess, more mild in terms of his attitude in playing for the Pelicans. So my thing is, when you see him, you know, get a foul called on him, you know, he's not necessarily getting in the ref space as much as he used to. Like, he's playing, you know, much more at a much more calm pace. So, like, he may not always have, you know, the highest points percentage, but you know his presence is always going to be felt. And I feel like the biggest thing that he can do beyond just his production offensively and defensively is be some sort of a rock for this team with Anthony Davis, because they're going to need him down the stretch. And the one thing that you don't want to do is limit your potential for the overall team by, you know, doing you know, I guess crazy things to, you know, to limit the potential for the team. So essentially, again, they're going to need him. And I feel like he knows that, you know, they're going to need him. And with him playing at the way that he's playing and keeping his character and his attitude together at the same time, it just means essentially wonderful things for the Pelicans going down the stretch.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, and with that, I wanted to report, or not report myself, but just issue a report that Justin Verrier posted earlier today about Omri Caspi signing with the Wolves today, heading out back to Minnesota on the plane with them. What were your thoughts on that? And is that a complete blunder for Dell Demps missing out on his bird rights? Or are you impartial to Omri Caspi?
I'm not really impartial to Omri Caspi. To be honest, I wasn't really thrilled when he came over in the trade. I was more so like, okay, here's another guy that's coming along in the trade, and I'm sure he could definitely bring some additional offensive production, particularly from, you know, from a perimeter standpoint, because, you know, the Pelicans got rid of their three main scorers but perimeter shooting, just offensive in general, other than AD at the time. So when he came in, I was like, you know, he can give us some prediction, but obviously, you know, Demps and Gentry, they would have to get some other pieces. But with him leaving so soon, it's just kind of like, you know, well, what was the point in, you know, bringing him in? But personally, I don't think it'll really just hurt the Pelicans. As long as they continue to, you know, like I said, play at the level that they're playing, I don't really think that, you know, it's going to be much of a, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue for them.
Yeah, it sounds like he was just part of a salary cap match to make the trade work. And it doesn't seem like they had too much interest in keeping him around, but I am very grateful that he didn't suit up tonight and lay 20 points on us in a Wolves victory.
Exactly, because then we would be rethinking this question right now.
I know, it's the only thing we'd be talking about tonight is Dell Demps. Now, before I let you go, I always love to save our hero for last. Anthony Davis is now 5-0 against Karl Anthony Towns. Towns had a very respectable 33-6. The two always play well against each other. Talk about the relationship, these two men. Are we seeing like the evolution of some kind of Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, some historic Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan rivalry that's going to follow these guys throughout their career to every time we see these guys play? Three times this year so far, we are blessed with this electricity between the two. How exciting is it watching the two of them go head-to-head? And do you think it only gets better from here?
And, you know, it's really exciting because, like, they're bringing their own version of what it means to be an NBA big man today. Like, the names you just named, like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, like, those were, you know, people, they were big men, but they could also do some additional work, you know, whether it was in the post or, you know, they had to, you know, say pull-up jumpers, you know, they had all-around games. But these two guys, at the height that they are, 6'9", you know, literally almost 7 feet, and doing what they're doing and being able to stretch the floor that the way that they do, like, this is a different evolution of big man. And so knowing that, you know, both guys, you know, coming from Kentucky, knowing each other, knowing pretty much each other's tendencies and what they want to do, I think it's always going to be a competitive competition between the two. And it's really good for the NBA because it gives us a chance to see how far the evolution of big men have come in the league.
Definitely. I was really interested in seeing the DeMarcus Cousins himself has been averaging, I can't remember if it was 27 or 29 points a game against the Wolves this season, but he also always plays well, and I was wondering if the two of them were going to sort of bully Karl Anthony Towns, but it seemed like DeMarcus almost took a step back and just let that rivalry ensue. He could tell the energy happening between them. And despite the one inadvertent finger that went into AD's eye in the third quarter from Karl Anthony Towns,
right,
it's really a good-natured rivalry. Not a lot of smack-talking that we see, not a lot of overly physical basketball. It's just two hard-playing, clean guys like going head-to-head for 48 minutes three times a year, and Boogie did all the other things, but were you surprised that he didn't try to directly like take over and say, you know what, you two, I'm actually the best big man in this game?
I'm not surprised. I think Boogie felt like, you know, I'm going to let, you know, AD and Karl Anthony Towns, you know, go to, you know, battle back and forth. That's going to be for them. And it's more so I just feel like, you know, I don't think, you know, AD and Karl Anthony Towns, I don't think they're players to really just kind of, you know, they're not the get in your face, you know, talk smack talk in front of each other like that. At least we haven't seen that right now. Now, considering the fact that this was a regular season game as opposed to a playoff game, we haven't seen these two teams match up in the playoffs yet. So that's something else to consider. So let's say, for example, maybe not necessarily this year, but maybe in the years to come, as they continue to grow and develop in the league, we may see these two players, you know, things may get a little heated, you know, in a playoff matchup because everybody, you know, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. So later on, we may see these players, you know, get a little heated or, you know, get a little bit more competitive than what they already are. But I still think even in a playoff match, I still feel like it's gonna be friendly competition, but the stakes are a lot higher because we're competing for a championship and not just a season series of a regular season.
Man, wouldn't that be something? We get whatever the opposite of being spoiled is watching the New Orleans Pelicans. We don't get to enjoy a whole lot of playoff series, but what do we have to do as fans to get these two teams into the playoffs against each other? I never even thought about watching these guys play 7 games in 20 days, and what a thrill that would be to watch on a night-in, night-out basis. Really cool. But, Wilton, before I let you go, thank you so much. This has been awesome, dude. You are wonderful. Before I let you go, I'm terrible at math, but I think the Pels have 12 games left. We're back four. We've still got three games against the Nuggets. We've still got a game against the Trailblazers. We move ahead of the Timberwolves in a tiebreaker with this game. How do you see the season ending with 12 games remaining, back four? Where do we go from here?
I think as long as, again, it kind of goes back to what I said in the beginning, as long as we continue, the Pelicans continue to play consistently offensively and tighten up defensively, I think we have a really good shot in getting into the playoffs. One thing to consider right now, like you said, Denver is in the eighth seed, and so we play them three more times. Even if we don't win all three games, it would be good. I feel like if we really want to fight to get that eighth spot, or the Pelicans really want to fight to get that eighth spot, they're going to have to win at least two of those games just to further kind of solidify, like, you know, we're the team, we're competing, we're giving it our all, like, you know, we're gonna get the eighth spot. And as long as they do that and continue to, again, play consistently, you know, find ways to get AD and Boogie, you know, consistent on the floor at the same time, make sure Drew Holiday is, you know, leading from the perimeter, make sure the other perimeter players, like I said, Drew Holiday, each one more, Solomon Hill, they have to continue to provide that production, whether it's 10 points or 15 points. At the end of the day, it's a team, and that production from each one of those players, it all adds up. And, again, the biggest thing, if Jordan Crawford, the production that he gave tonight, if he can do that consistently going down the stretch of the season in these last 12 games, and, you know, in addition to, you know, Boogie and Anthony Davis, I feel like we have a really good shot in earning that eighth spot in the playoffs for the Western Conference.
So what do you think in 12 games? 9-3, 8-4?
I think you almost have to go to for sure solidify a spot. I feel like you almost have to go at least 7-5 or 8-4.
Okay, now we face the Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday. What's your prediction for that game? What's that?
No, so that's going to be a tough game too.
It's going to be a home game. What do you think happens?
I think with it being a home game and we're coming off a home win today, I think we could get another home win against the Grizzlies. I know they're seventh in the West right now, and they're going to be looking to, you know, continue their streak and holding on their spot as the seventh seed in the Western Conference. But I feel like, again, if we can continue to build on our momentum here at home and continue to score offensively and tighten up the defense, you know, not allow too many teams to continue to enhance that their presence in the paint and eliminate some of the shooting from the perimeter, I think we have a good chance of winning and beating the Grizzlies.
Wilton Jackson, you guys can follow him at Wilton Reports. That's at Wilton Reports. Thank you so much, Wilton. Come back and see us again soon. This has been awesome.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me, Preston. Looking forward to speaking with you again.
You got it. That's it. You get no more. Thank you all so much again for tuning in and supporting the Pelican Debrief podcast. Now, we'll be back with another episode. We won't be gone too long, capping the matchup with the Grizzlies on Wednesday morning after the Tuesday night contest. Again, you can follow me at Preston Ellis and Pelican Debrief at Pelican Debrief or PelicanDebrief.com to read our material. Thank you to Wilton again for coming onto the show. Appreciate it so much. You guys, thank you. You make this possible. We love doing it for you. If you have any questions or want to submit any questions and have them answered on the show, please, you know what to do. Have a great night, and let's go Pelicans.